key concerning counsel of all the different things Jesus is giving us counsel about, and it's going to be counsel about judging. Counsel about judging. All right, if we were following our letter P's as we did earlier, it'd be prejudging, and that is forming a judgment ahead of time, but it's just simply counsel about judging. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say unto thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Jesus is giving some counseling about judging. Number one, he talks about the restricting of judgment. The restricting of judgment. Let me make this clear. Jesus is not outlawing judging. And we'll look at that in some other places. But he is restricting our judgment. Some folks, can we be honest, are too judgmental. Sometimes we are prone to be too judgmental. And that is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about not judging things, and again, we'll cover that in a minute, but he's talking about being overly judging, being harsh or critical in spirit, and judging everything, and measuring everything by our own standard. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, judge not, lest you be judged. He's restricting it. Notice this is a negative command. Judge not. It's a negative command. And as I said already, in a world that doesn't want the commands of God, for some reason this one's okay. Because you'll hear unbelievers all over the place saying, don't judge me. It's not your place to judge me. They'll say, judge not. They won't read the rest of the passage, obviously. But they'll say, judge not. And so in a world that doesn't want God's negative commands, they seem to like that one. We'll talk about why in just a moment. Notice this. When we think about these negative commands, a negative command found in Scripture, if obeyed, always brings a positive blessing. Now think about that. A negative command in Scripture, if obeyed, always brings a positive blessing. When we obey the commandment, thou shalt not kill, you get a positive blessing. When we obey the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, you get a blessing. When we obey the commandment, judge not, we get blessed for it. Because when we are harsh in our judgment, God makes sure that our judgment of us is harsh by other people and by God. And again, we'll cover that as we get into this a little bit deeper. But understand that God is restricting judgment when he says judge not. Small letter A. The misinterpretation of judging. The misinterpretation. And this is what we're talking about. How folks take this verse and misinterpret or misapply it. That's why it's very important for you and I as believers to compare Scripture with Scripture to make sure we're balanced in our interpretation. That we don't take one verse or one Scripture or one portion and amplify it without comparing other Scriptures to it to make sure that we're rightly dividing the Word of God. Jesus said to the man when he gave him the parable about who loves more, the one that says, yes, Father, I'll go, but doesn't go. Or the one that says, that Father, I'll not go, but I, which one loved more? And when the man gave the answer, Jesus says, thou hast judged rightly. All right, we are to make judgments. So we need to be careful that we don't miss. You know what the 12 tribes of Israel are going to do in the millennial kingdom? They're going to sit on their thrones judging the earth. God has given to legislators or to judges in our day, the ability, civil authority, the power to judge. So we can't take that verse and apply it across the board to everything. The Bible says in 1 John, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. The Bible tells us, try the spirits, whether they be of God. We are to form judgments. And so when Jesus said, thou shalt not judge, you know what that is? That phrase has given many a sinner a carpet under which to sweep their sin. Whether it's murder, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's dishonesty and crookedness, someone could just say, well, you can't judge me. And usually they're doing that in self-defense of something they are doing wrong and hiding behind the negative command of God, judge not. So when we think about this command, we need to rightly understand it. The misinterpretation that so many make, how dare you judge me? That's just, they're using that to justify their own bad behavior. Justify their own sin. We need to be aware of that when we make our judgments, because again, we are to make our judgments. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, prove all things. All right, we are to judge all things. Look here in Matthew chapter 5, look it down at verse 15. Excuse me, Matthew 7, where we're at in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. All right, how do you know if somebody's a false prophet? By judging them according to the word of God. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. You're judging them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby by their fruits ye shall know them. All right, the Lord is not outlawing judgment altogether. But he's saying judge righteous judgment. And so the misinterpretation is taking that and applying it to everything. A sinner defending their behavior by claiming that no one has the right to judge them. And that's not what Jesus is saying here. So that's the misinterpretation. Then what is small letter B? More importantly, then what is the meaning? What is the meaning of judge not, lest you be judged? And it's simply this. Don't have a critical, fault-finding spirit. Don't have a critical, fault-finding spirit. We're going to see this again as we go down. This passage is so full of great things. Some folks, you know, are just negative. They're judgmental. Somebody said it this way. If you ask them how they're doing, they're going to tell you. And it's all going to be depressing. All right, that's what this is talking about. The folks that are just prone to judging and criticizing and being negative about everything that they see. And so Jesus says about them, he says, judge not, beware, judge not, lest you be judged. You want to be critical? You want to be negative? You want to be fault-finding? Well, you better get ready for the judgment seat of Christ then. Because if that's the way you're going to be to others, and we'll find the verse in just a moment, if that's the way you're going to be to others, that's the way the Lord says He's going to be toward us. If we're going to be harsh and critical and fault-finding, God says, be prepared. Because not only will I allow you to be in contact with other people like that, so you can reap your own reward, but when it comes to the judgment, you're preparing yourself for. And again, we'll find the verse in just a moment that teaches that. So the meaning, a critical fault-finding spirit. Then number two, and here's our big word for today, the reciprocation. The reciprocation, R-E-C-I-P-R-O-C-A-T-I-O-N. Reciprocation. You know what it means to reciprocate? It means to return. We could have used the word reward, but it's not really a reward because reward we think of as being positive. The law, second law of thermodynamics. All right, somebody help me, you scientists out there. Every motion has an equal and opposite. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. When we are harsh in our judgment, when we are negative in our spirit, God says that's what we're going to reap. We reap what we sow. When we are critical and negative and harsh and mean-spirited, God says, I'll match it. Either by the people that I put you in contact with, the people I surround you with, or at that great day of judgment, the harshness with which you judged others will be returned upon you. That's the reciprocation in the judging. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. That's exactly what we're talking about. If we are harsh and critical and negative and judgmental, others know it about us. We have our reputation of being that way. And we all know folks that are like that. Hopefully, folks don't think we're like that. That we're always seeing the negative side, always being harsh, always being judgmental and critical. It's very easy to do in our human spirit. And it's a result of self-righteousness, is it not? When we think we're right and everybody else is wrong. And so the Lord says, be careful of that, because with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Verse number 2. With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Verse 2, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. That's a good reason to be gracious, is it not? A good reason to be merciful and kind. Because with what measure we give, it will be measured to us again. I want kindness. I want mercy. I want grace from other people. So if we want that, then we give that to them. Because the Lord tells us that it'll be given back to us according to how we give it. Notice this strong warning of watching out for small letter A. We see the reaping. The reaping. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. That's that law from Galatians of reaping and sowing. If we sow kindness, we reap kindness. If we sow harshness, we reap harshness. That's just a law that can't be beaten. You can't get away from that. That's just how it's going to be. You see some folks that just live in that, in the clutches of, can we say it, of negativity? The clutches of always expecting something bad to happen. And you feel sorry for them. They don't ever get the victory. They don't ever rise above it. They're always entrapped by the what ifs and the things that are going wrong. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged again. Turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 18. I've referred to this. I've made a couple statements about this, and it might be kind of shocking to you to say that God will return upon you and I the judgment we give to other people. If we're gracious, God will be gracious. If we're harsh and critical, God will be harsh and critical. You say, preacher, where does the Bible say that? Psalm chapter 18. Jeff, can you do me a favor? That little fridge in my office, inside the door, there's a water there. If you could get it for me. Psalm chapter 18. And verse number 25. Here's what David said, the psalmist said to the Lord. In Psalm 18 and verse 25. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward. The froward, that's the negative, the critical, the harsh. Thou wilt show thyself froward. So even the spirit of which, in which God, thank you, the spirit in which God judges us will be returned upon us by the spirit in which we judge others. Now we're not talking about the determination of heaven and hell, of saved and lost. We're talking about God's dealing with us as individuals, even as His children. When we are kind, God will be kind. When we are merciful, God will be merciful. We need to be careful in how we deal with other people, because God is paying attention to it. And God will judge us at that great day according to that judgment. You know, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're rewarded for our behavior in this life, again, not to determine whether we go to heaven or hell, that's already determined in our lifetime by whether or not we put our faith and trust in Christ. But when we go to that judgment seat, now God's going to judge us according to our works. And if we've been merciful, He'll be merciful. Now again, not for eternal life, but in judgment. If we've been pure, He'll be pure. He'll just commend us to no end. But if we've been froward, if we've been wicked, if we've been nasty, if we've been mean to others, God will rebuke us for it. We bring upon ourselves our own judgment. That's what Jesus is saying here. Judge not that you be not judged. So there's a reciprocation in the reaping, small letter B. There's the reciprocation in the repeating. The repeating. The second half of verse 1. Judge not. Why? That ye be not judged. Why shouldn't we judge? Jesus is being careful to let us know. Verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. That's why we need to be careful. Because the attitude and spirit in which we judge, we shall be judged. Again, that's not talking about standing against sin, standing for righteousness. We are to do those things. We are to judge ungodliness and wickedness. But the spirit in which we judge one another determines the spirit in which God judges us in that day. So the end of verse 1, be not judged. The middle of verse 2, that judge not that you be not judged. And the end of verse 2, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. The Lord had to repeat it 3 times in 2 verses to make sure we would get it. Because we don't catch on quick. We're just like our children and our grandchildren. Or should I turn that around and say our grandchildren and our children are just like us. We don't get it quick. You ever been frustrated by the fact that you have to tell your children 1, 2, or 3 times the same thing before they get it? And usually after the 2nd or 3rd time, they get it because they get it. If you know what I mean. A little swat on the rear end, the padded place that God put there. Not in anger or harshness, but just swatting them out of it. And sometimes the Lord has to do the same thing with us grown adults. I told you, smack. Give you a little boost there. Give you a little correction. That's the way the Lord deals with us as children. He says in Hebrews, if we're children and haven't been chastised, then we're not children. And so the Lord has to correct us. And so He repeats this 3 times. Be careful, be careful, be careful. There's a warning. The spirit in which you judge others is the spirit in which I'm going to judge you. If you're merciful, again, you can run into folks that are sinners and you can rebuke their sin, but you know what Paul said? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Always remembering that human beings that commit atrocious sins are human beings just like you are. And that you and I have the same capabilities outside of the grace of God and the fellowship of God. Anybody in here is capable of doing anything any wicked lost person's ever done. If you get out of fellowship with God. In fact, you want to find some of the worst sinners. They're ones that were at one time in fellowship with God. And put that behind them to seek their own desires and their own ways. They are the most wicked of all. So the Lord gives the warning by repeating it 3 times. Be careful. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Ladies, you get a measuring cup out and you meet it out. I had Raisin Bran this morning and I love a little bit of sugar on my Raisin Bran. So I get my spoon and I meet it out just the right amount. And then once I've just got the right amount, I double it to make it taste good. All right, that's what measuring it out. That's what meeting it out means. When we are in our judgment mode, we need to be careful. We need to be in judgment mode. Again, how do you try the spirits? How do you test the fruit without being in judgment mode? But we need to be careful when we're in that mode that our spirit is right. So that's what the Lord is talking about, the reciprocation of judging at the end of verse 1 and the rest of verse 2. Then number 3, the larger part of the text, verse 3 to 5, we see the rebuking of judging. The rebuking of judging. Why? I like that word in verse 3. And why? You know what the problem is? Why? Why are you focused on that? Why are you worried about your brother's sin? Now again, there are times we need to be. But let's look at the overall picture. Can you know what the letters mean? M-Y-O-B? We're in that day where everything means something. You know what? If you were my age, it used to be B-Y-O-B. All right, you got that one? All right, now we're on M-Y-O-B. Mind your own business. And that's what he says in verse 3. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, the beam that is in thy brother's eye, the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You know, the most judgmental of people, can we say that, usually have the most dirt under their own rug. Those that are harshest in judgment of others usually have the most dirt to cover up. You can just remember that and kind of log that in your mind the next time someone is being highly critical of you, overly critical. Now, good night. We all have reasons for people to be critical of us because we're not perfect. But when we get that overbearing spirit and when somebody's like that on our case about things and being overly critical, just mark it down. Just be comforted in the fact of knowing the reason they're throwing so many grenades at you is because they got a lot back there where they're at. And the judgmental people are usually the ones with the most dirt under their own rug. The rebuking of judgment. The Lord uses the words of a parable here. when he talks about the mote and the beam. You understand, as I look out here, nobody here has a splinter of wood in their eye. If you did, you wouldn't be sitting here the way you're sitting right now. And nobody has a beam of wood. Nobody here with a 2x4 in their eye. So these are words that are used parabolically. All right, Jesus is using these words to point out an example. And so in rebuking of this, he uses these phrases to teach us. And here's the thing. He's not teaching us not to judge, but he's teaching us how to judge. How to judge correctly in verse 3 to 5. Notice small letter A, the terms. The terms that he's using, and we've talked about this already, the terms are mote and beam. A mote is a small, tiny piece of wood. You maybe have gotten a splinter in your finger. That little tiny piece of wood sure causes a lot of trouble and a lot of pain. Try to get that little thing after it's settled in, get somebody to take that thing out of there, and that is troublesome. So let's start by saying this, that little piece of wood is troublesome. And that little piece of wood, that splinter that gets into your skin, if not taken out, gets in there and after a while gets infected and becomes worse and worse. So that little splinter of wood needs to be removed. But not all of us are physicians that are qualified to remove it from others. And that's where we need to be careful. When we take upon ourselves an authority that's not ours. If I see you going down the highway at 75 or 80 miles an hour, we came back from Michigan Friday afternoon, and I set my cruise control. I have to. Because if I don't, I have a lead foot. And I know that I have a lead foot. The first thing, what does they say, the Alcoholics Anonymous, the first step to victory is to recognize your fault. I know I have a lead foot. I've got the tickets in the past to prove it. So the greatest invention that Ford Motor or any of the companies ever came out with was cruise control. Because I can stick it on there at the speed limit, put it on there, take my foot off, and I don't have to worry about how fast or slow I'm going. But I set it around the speed limit, very close to the speed limit. And as I'm going, cars are just flying by me. Especially Pennsylvania cars. I don't know, I'm being judgmental now, I know that. But it seems like the ones that fly by either have Pennsylvania or New York plates on them. They've got other states, they're pretty much going, but those two, I guess, maybe the state patrolmen aren't so heavy in those places, but they just go flying by. And they go flying about 80, 85, 90 miles an hour. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to pull them over, give them a ticket. But it's kind of like M-Y-O-B. Mind your own, it's not my right, it's not my authority, it's not my power, it's not my business to give them a ticket for going over. We need to be careful when we're looking into things that are none of our business. And that's what every talk show on television is not minding their own business. Airing their dirty laundry out in front of everybody around them on national television. We live in a society where everybody's business is your business, and your business is everybody's business. And Jesus says, he said it politely. I was going to say shut up, but he said, judge not, lest you be judged. If it doesn't involve you, don't make it involve you. I like that word in verse 3. Why? Why? So the terms, the mote and the beam, notice these two terms are both in reference to the same thing. They're both wood. One's just bigger than the other. Be careful of judging others for the things that we do, even to a lesser extent. All right, they're made of the same thing. They're both wood. A mote, small splinter, a beam. You know what a beam is. And the fellow that's got the mote, he's got the small thing, the same thing the other fellow is doing in excess, and he's judging him for doing something he does, but not to the extent the other person does. You see the failure in judgment there. In fact, it's so bad that in verse 5 it says you need to take out that mote so that you can see clearly. When you've got the smallest of motes in your eye, you don't see clearly to remove it from somebody else. I don't want a half-blind doctor removing my gallbladder. Now, I'm not talking from experience, thankfully. I want a doctor that can see clearly. Know exactly what he's doing. All right, let's be careful that we don't think that we're half-blind doctors removing beams from somebody else's when we don't see clearly because of the mote that's in our own eye. We need to move on. Letter B, the travesty, and this is what I've been pointing out. The travesty. Why? 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 Folks will say, well, this person's this or that person's that. Okay, what's that to you? What does that matter? Why is it your business? Let it go. Let it go. Why? Don't we have enough things to worry about? Don't we have enough of our own things to worry about? And again, we're not outlawing all of it, but just saying we need to be careful. Why? What's the motive? Why? Why beholdest? Why are we worried about someone else's sin when we've got our own sins to deal with? Just be careful. Letter C, the teaching. And here's the most important part of it. Jesus, again, is not telling us not to judge, but he's teaching us how to judge. How to judge. Number one, he's saying, do not judge hypocritically. That's what it says in verse 5. Thou hypocrite. Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye. We never think we have a beam in our own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Don't judge others before we judge ourselves. You know, the verses we read every time we have the Lord's Supper. And let a man examine everyone else around him. No, let a man examine himself. All right, judgment begins with us. Judgment begins with the house of God. You are the house of God. You're the temple of God. Judgment begins there. We need to be more critical of ourselves than we ever are of other people. And when we see ourselves correctly, it will temper our judgment of others. Don't judge hypocritically. Number two, don't judge presumptuously. All right, there's, I guess, we got two big words this time. Presumptuously. 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 Notice in the verse, middle of verse 4, it says, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye? Let me. You know what that fellow's doing? He's putting himself in the middle of someone else's business. He's taking the authority over that. Let me pull the beam out of your eye. Let me pull the mote out of your eye. He's presumptuous in thinking that it's his calling, his business, his responsibility to fix somebody else. When we need to fix ourselves. Judge not lest you be judged. Let me, that eagerness to judge. That eagerness. Let me pull out the mote that is on thine own eye. Presuming the right, presuming the authority. 1 Peter 4:15 says, being busybodies in other men's matters. Being busybodies in other men's matters. Don't judge presumptuously. Number three, don't judge gleefully. Glee, G-L-E-E, glee. Fully, F-U-L-L-Y. He says, let me pull out the beam out of the own eye, almost with an eagerness, an anticipation, a happiness to point out someone else's sin. You know, as a preacher, when I preach the Word of God, I don't want to point out your sin. I want to preach on sin. I have to preach on sin. But I'd much rather have the Holy Spirit of God take the preaching of the Word of God and apply it to your heart than for me try to address you personally in the matters of sin. Because if I do it, it's one person doing it to another, and it really doesn't accomplish much. But when the Holy Spirit does it, it's God putting the screws to us, and that doesn't go away. We should not be gleeful in pointing out other people's negative qualities. We should not be eager to judge others. Do not do it gleefully. And then lastly, number four, do not judge inaccurately. Do not judge inaccurately. Can I say this right off the bat? Be careful what you put on social media. This is an extreme example, but somebody put on something and it said that President Trump has already spent over $9 million in golfing since he's become president. Now think about that. How often would you have to golf to spend $9 million? The minute you see that number, it's like, nobody fact-checked this. Nobody made sure this was accurate. They're just passing on something else somebody else has said. And that is so prevalent. So prevalent. Just passing on something. Oh, it sounds good. Sounds right. It's of my persuasion. I agree with it. I'm going to pass that on. It's inaccurate. Don't judge inaccurately. Make sure you've got the facts. Make sure you know what you're talking about. Or else you're a gossip. You're a busybody in other men's matters. You know what it said? Remove it so you can see clearly. All right? When you don't see clearly, it's inaccurate. Step back. Look at it right. Fake news. False accusations. They're the spirit of our day. Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. He's not ruling out judgment, but telling us how to judge righteous judgment. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction it gives. And Lord, truly it is righteous.